We were in a conversation this week, and if you ever want to get your mind blown, just come in around 10 o'clock in the morning and just sit here for a while. Take you a week to recover or need deliverance or you'll... But we were sharing, just talking with some folk, and the subject of worthy came up. Worth, value. And I know people, and you may know people, and you may, who just feel that because of their past life and things they've done and how they've lived, they have no value. They're not worthy. And I know that at times we all come to a place and just say, hey, we're not worthy, and we do that because we don't want to get a big head or want to be filled with pride, or and sometimes we take it too far. And I want to talk to you this morning, and this excites me. Can't you tell? I'm just jumping up and down. This excites me because what I'm going to tell you is absolutely, when I share my opinion, but what I'm telling you is absolutely biblical truth. And we don't dig into it the way we should because we hear that word worthy and we're just hoping that we're worthy to be accepted. We're just praying that God smiles at us and lets us go to heaven. And that's what's not, this is not about. And so I went to Greek, I went to Webster, I went all over the place trying to find a good definition of worthy, and so I made my own. If you don't like it, it's partially from Webster, it's partially from the Greek. The word worship in the Greek means to stand in awe or bow in awe of our Lord. The word worth, because how many realize we get worthy from the word worth? According to Webster, it's a quality of a person that lends importance, value, and merit, and that is measured by the esteem a person is held in. Okay, we have no trouble doing that for God, right? We have no trouble esteeming God and calling him worthy. The word worthy equals to have worth, value, or merit. Now, most of us can identify with the word worthless. Because most of us think we're just very lucky that God accepted us and, man, our lives were bad and you know, maybe God doesn't understand everything about us, what we were. The word worthless means having no value. I want to start with Jesus, and I just want to take a few scriptures that, because I'm sure, how many of you believe Jesus is worthy?
Amen.
Okay. We all believe that Jesus is worthy. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and through 3. Just want to show you something. Then we're going to go to Revelation for a couple. Hebrews chapter 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, holy brethren, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. You say, what does that mean? The Creator has more worthiness than the creation. Okay? Now, Kirk's house, fabulous job. But the house doesn't have the glory, the builder does. Okay, can you understand that? And I'm not just making this up. I'm telling you what the Bible says. But let me show you something. He didn't mention Kirk's house, by the way. It came close and mentioned the temple, and the temple's inferior. How many can find the book of Deuteronomy? I'll bet you haven't been there in church for a long time. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Or 34, I'm sorry. At the end of Deuteronomy, after Moses died, this was... this was added, or Moses wrote it before he died. 34:10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That's pretty good identification. The Lord knew Moses face to face. Conversed with him face to face. Who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the officials, to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Until who? Jesus. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse number 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Keep in mind, God made it all. Because he made it all, he's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. But even deeper than that, because of his nature and his character, he's worthy. Chapter 5. Verse number 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all that was in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. There's only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that's worthy of worship. Okay? We don't worship artifacts. We don't worship, if we could dig up Solomon's temple, we wouldn't worship that. If we could have the most sacred thing in the world, we wouldn't worship it because they're idols. We were talking earlier this morning that when Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness and they hid that serpent because they knew that people would worship, and they did find it, and they did worship it, and they called it Nehushtan. And I think it was Hezekiah, and I'd have to look it up, but it was pretty close to Hezekiah, who found Nehushtan and destroyed it. Because the serpent that they lifted up in the wilderness that the people looked at and worshiped became the idol. The only one worship that we worship and honor and glorify in the way that we do God is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anything else that is placed before God is not worthy to be placed before him and is an idol. And so being worthy and worshiping is part of being a believer. Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So he said, you people worship what you don't know. So you have ignorant worship. We worship because we know the Jew worships, knowing that worship comes from God. In other words, that's intelligent worship. But true worship is worshiping the Father and the Son and the Spirit in truth. Yes. Now in Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at the disciples. Chapter 4 and chapter 5. I'd like to have a whole lot of shaking going on. Wasn't a scriptural song, was it? But it fits. If you put it in the right dimension. So the disciples come back from being threatened, and they pray to God. Let's look, just start in verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who was anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand they should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders, and that through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They recognized that the one with the power, the one with the authority, was Jesus. And they recognized that they needed boldness, the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times the word boldness means confidence. To stand when these people are threatening them and take it. And here's what happened in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 40. And what had happened is Ananias talked to the Sanhedrin. And in verse 40 it says, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They looked at themselves and say, we're worthy to suffer for Jesus. Okay? Go back with me to Romans chapter 8. We'll go forward with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm just laying a foundation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The sufferings are never overriding the worthiness that God has placed upon his body. The worthiness that God placed upon his body at times will cause suffering. Okay? Because what's going to have to happen, it's like when the Lord talks to you, at times you have to erase what you've already heard and what you've already tried to comprehend. The hardest thing for believers to do is to stand in a place where we look at God and say, "You made me worthy." And there's no greater truth than "You made me worthy." Because when he made you worthy. Before you accepted Christ. I don't hear anybody shouting. Before you accepted Christ, God placed value on you. And there's a lot of difference between value and ministry. You say, "What are you talking about?" Because he claimed that we are worthy and have value, we accepted him and he gave us ministry. Every one of you. You say, "Well, I'm not a minister." Then you're a mission field. Which one do you want to be? You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Minister just simply means I'm a servant. And God has a right to tell me what to do.
That's right.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm a servant and God has a right to tell me what to do. So anyway, Kirk and I were talking, and every time we talk, I have to go home and think about what he said. And so we started talking about this worthy, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. So Friday afternoon I came in, started reading scriptures, and yesterday came in two or three times, and suddenly something opened up. Because most believers will look at their lives and say, "Yes, after I accepted Christ, I had value." What did you have before you accepted Christ? Let me show you. Let me show you why I think we get that messed up. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. How many believe the book of Romans? How many believe Paul? Okay. So please, if you don't accept this, ask Jesus for a conversation with Paul. Because Paul wrote this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now I got to look up where I am. Verse 6, chapter 5. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Who did he die for?
The ungodly.
Ungodly. Say it loud.
Ungodly.
"Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies," say enemy.
Enemies.
"When we were God's enemies." Now somebody should start dancing almost. It'd be a little exciting. "We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more being reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Do you realize when you or Paul or whoever it was an enemy of God, God gave you value? You say, "Yeah." Jesus did not die for worthless people. He died for everyone in the world, and everyone in the world, no matter what stance they take, has been called worthy and has been given value by Almighty God. Come on! Stones are going to cry out outside here. Something's got to get a hold of you this morning. Because you can look in the mirror and say, I'm worthless, I have no value, I have no purpose. My life has been a mess, and God is saying, where'd you get that from? How many believe that the story of the prodigal son is about our Heavenly Father? The story of the prodigal son is a son who abandoned his father, took his money, wasted it, and then wakes up in a pig pen. In the pig pen, he says, I'm going to go home to my father because his hired servants has better living quarters and food than I get. And so when he went, his father saw him coming. And he didn't look at him and said, hey, I told you so, you worthless thing. About time you come home. He got the fatted calf. He got the robe. He got the rings. He got the necklace. He clothed him. Why? Because his son had value. And he put it all together. And the older son was a little bit upset because he didn't understand. He didn't understand that the father was welcoming his son home because his son had value, importance, and merit. Okay, can we get a hold of this? There are still some people saying, well, I don't know if God's going to bless me like that or give me this or heal this or do that because after all, you know, my life was... Get over it! God's not looking at your mess. He's looking at your value. God's not looking at what you did wrong. He's looking at what he did right so you could understand your value. And we struggle with that. And God is looking at his body and say, I want you to rise up. I want you to soar with the eagle wings of Isaiah 40. I want you to understand that I've never called you worthless. I've never called you trash. I've never called you anything except my beloved. And he begins to put that together. Now will we let him? The church hinders God from pouring out his spirit in a now-day age because we look at ourselves instead of looking at our Father who created us, who loves us, who says you have value and you have purpose. Yes. And I don't know why we believe the devil's lies for so long. And we walk around with our heads down. We're looking at other ministries. We're looking at other churches. We're looking at other pastors. We're looking at other evangelists and saying, why can't we have that? Who said we couldn't?
That's right.
You have not because you ask not. And I believe we ask not because we don't believe we're worthy enough to get it. Let's change. Let's take a step in the right direction. Let's come to a place where we understand that God has given us value. It doesn't matter what people think.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what they're telling you. It doesn't matter what they're throwing at you. They're doing that because they're not of God.
That's right.
And God is saying, people, I value you. You're important to me. You have merit. And we start from there. How many can accept that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
How many is it too foreign? How many are looking at yourself? And we'll go over some of this on Wednesday night. How many are looking at yourself where you can throw some things back at me? How many are looking at yourself and say, well, that can't be. If God says it, it can be. Okay, so Colossians 1:10. Now I'm glad there's no ice yet because I'd be underneath it. Because I'm walking on thin ice. Because you don't hear this preached a whole lot. At least I haven't. So I'm stepping into a place where it seems like I'm contradicting other preachers, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to open a door where we can see things that we just haven't looked at before. Because we've heard this so much. When you hear, live your life and walk worthy of the Lord, most people think, well, that's just not sinning. We okay? The first thing we think of is, boy, I don't want to go out there and sin. I got to walk. And that can be part of it. But it's a lot deeper than that. Colossians 1:10 says this. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy. All of a sudden we think, okay, how do I live worthy? Well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't say that. And I just need to be sinless. I got to change my attitude. I got to change a lot of stuff. And I don't see that in this verse. Because in verse number 9, he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with his knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Paul's not disciplining them for sinning. Okay? He's saying, there's more. And that's the attitude I want this morning from this body is, hey, there's more. There's more than I have. There's more than I expected. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. There's so much more that we haven't touched and that we're content without having because we think we're not worthy. And we pray this in order that you may have a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patiently and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What's he talking about? He's talking about because he esteemed you worthy, he has placed within you giftings that will bear fruit. The fruit is already here. You are the garden for God's blessings. You are the one where God has planted seed to grow the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, love beyond measure, all the things that you need to change the whole world by reaching people has been placed in the body of Christ. And all that he's asking is that we believe it and accept it and walk in a worthy manner that says, God, I know you accept me. And I know you honor me. And I know you love me. And I know I have value with you. But we don't look at things that way. We use that verse over and over again, people do. If the righteous scarcely be saved. Really? It's in there. We are saved right now, but we're going to be saved beyond where we are now because we're going to be in heaven. What was the difficulty in our salvation? The difficulty in our salvation was Christ had to die. And that's what Paul is saying. If the righteous scarcely be saved or with great difficulty are saved, the difficulty is Christ died for us. And you can go on from there, but the difficulty is somebody had to die so we could be saved. And so what Paul is telling us now, what is this all about? Well, it's about God wants you to bear fruit. Now we look at ourselves and say, well, I can't do it. God never expected you to do it. God expected you to do it through Him. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And where does the Spirit live? So shouldn't we have the fruit of the Spirit? We shouldn't be praying, Lord, give me the fruit of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, so the fruit should be producing.
That's right.
The problem is we have to believe that God can produce that fruit in us and it'll come through us.
That's right.
But again, we get hung up on value. There's not one place in here that says only certain people have value.
That's true. That's right.
But we live that way. God has given us value, and that value has purpose, that we begin to accept the things that God wants to do in our lives and come to a place where we live them out without doubt. You had enough, or you want some more? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. So in 1:27, Paul is admonishing them. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves, in verse 27, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever's going on, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It's good news. What does good news say? That God's placed value on you. On. The good news tells me, for God so loved the world that He gave. You can't listen to the gospel without reading and understanding that you're included in the good news. But we do. So Paul is saying, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Okay. Hold your chairs now. Don't fall off. God is saying, I want you to walk in a manner that's worthy of the death of Christ. Because without the death of Christ, there's no gospel.
That's right.
If you get a hold of this, it'll change how you look at God and how you look at yourself. I want you to conduct your life in a worthy manner in relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So quit beating yourself up. Quit listening to the devil. Quit allowing demons to control.
That's right. Yeah.
Come to a place where we're going to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, or that He has looked at us and said, worthy of my son's death. I'm going to walk that out. It doesn't mean you earned it. I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm looking at it as saying God placed value on you. Because He placed value on you, His son died. Because His son died, we accept the value.
Amen.
and we live it. Worthy of the gospel of Christ, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm. In one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Can I read that again? I will know in my absence that you stand firm in one spirit. We're one spirit body. Without being frightened, as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened by any way of those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved. Colossians 1, 10 and 11. We can't look at the world and be afraid. Even by those who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are still those who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do? We carry on. Because they don't know it. But eventually, all opposers of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be destroyed.
That's right.
Read for 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in flaming vengeance, taking vengeance on those, flaming fire taking vengeance on those who don't believe. It's going to happen. But I'm ready for more people to come to Christ before it happens.
Yeah.
We're not threatening anybody with the gospel. We're just demonstrating the value that God places on people. One more and I'm done. Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What's he saying? I chewed on that for a while. He's saying this. Be unified together. Because of the value that Christ has placed on you, you place on other people. We're not standing up here every day and saying, you got to be unified, you got to be unified. No, all we're standing up here and saying, God placed value on you, give the person next to you the same right to have that value that you have. Doesn't matter what they look like, what they've done, who they are, what's going on, saved or unsaved, we give them value. It's heavy, but yet I believe with all my heart it's true. A lot of people in the body of Christ has looked down their nose at other people and wouldn't be united with them. We have nothing in common in unity with an unbeliever, with unity. We do have everything in common with them that God values them as much as he values us. And we reach into that and we take hold of that. And so we're not being nasty. We're not being obnoxious. We're not looking at people and despising them because, oh man, they're a drunk or they're this or they're something else. We place value on their lives. We take them by the hand and say, God loves you. When we can do that, and will do that, we've reached a point where God will send a mighty moving of his Holy Spirit because we know he knows we're not going to trash it. Revivals have been trashed because of pride. Forgive me, but it's true. Because of self-interest. I believe if we can take hold of this, and you may hear more about it down the road and down the road and down the road, if we can take hold of this and apply it, God begins to say, they're ready. Not because we've earned anything, but because he's placed value on the people outside who don't know him.